This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah alhamdulillah. Bismillah alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. This is Riyad Rosazi. We're coming to you to the series Walking with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Upon the footsteps of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and today we are with episode number 37. Wa alaikum salam. So I have got people on Facebook and I've got people on Instagram. Always, mashallah, Yashmin, always the first one to log in. So I'm just gonna give a minute for more people to join, inshallah ta'ala, before we resume our series, inshallah. Today, inshallah, we'll be with another battle that happened after the battle of Uhud and after the battle of Dhat al-Riqa', which we talked about yesterday. We'll be talking about the Khandaq, the trench. Maybe some of you have been to Medina and you may have visited the trench or the Khandaq. Maybe if you've done that tour. There's normally they take people on a tour in Medina, and they would take you to the mazarat. They call them mazarat. They would take you to they would take you to Uhud. They'll take you to Uhud. They will take you to Masjid Quba. They will take you to the Qiblatain. They will take you. So also sometimes they would drive you towards where the Khandaq was, or where the battle of the trench was. So then, inshallah, we'll be talking about that that battle, you know, that what happened, who triggered it, and what triggered it. But before that, brothers and sisters, we will be just quick review of what we talked about yesterday. A quick review of what we talked about yesterday. We talked about the battle of, after the battle of Uhud, and as the Muslims, they were heartbroken, they were disappointed. Prophet Muhammad was also disappointed and sad when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down certain verses in the Quran to mend the heart of the believers and to mend the heart of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you remember, what is the name of Allah that mends the hearts, brothers and sisters, those of you on Facebook and those of you on Instagram? There is a name of Allah that you could use whenever you feel heartbroken, whenever someone deceives you. There's so many heartbroken people out there. I'm sure a lot of you, you know, and if not now, you may have gone through some incident that, you know, broke your heart. Yes, Layla Al-Jabbar, Nawal Al-Jabbar, Nimka Yusuf, mashallah, long time no see. Nimka Yusuf, where you been, man? You know, long time. Al-Jabbar. Al-Jabbar is the one that mends the hearts. Al-Jabbar is the one that mends the hearts. Jab from Jabara Yajbur, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jabbar, He revealed, you know, some ayat to mend the hearts of the believers. Brothers and sisters, we also talked about, you know, that year of the fourth year of the Hijrah, you know, between the second and the fourth year of the Hijrah, all these events that happened not only, you know, Quraysh, because Prophet Muhammad was focusing on Quraysh mostly, but there were other Arabs, there were other tribes who made certain attempts to attack the Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasalam, like the tribe of Ghatafan, when you know, Prophet Muhammad, you know that story that I mentioned yesterday, but the battle of Dhat al-Riqa', when the Prophet, the Sahaba, they were not, you know, they went, and why is it called Dhat al-Riqa'? Because they were they walked so much that they even some of them, who didn't have shoes, they had to take cloth and wrap their feet on those wraps. So it was called Dhat al-Riqa'. But the battle didn't really happen at the Sahaba. They went and then they came back. And all the way back, if you remember, I mentioned that yesterday, there was this beautiful incident that happened between Prophet Muhammad and Jabir. Jabir ibn Abdullah, the Sahabi, he had an old camel that was sort of like walking slowly, and as the Sahaba, they were rushing to reach Medina, but the camel sort of kept them, you know, back. So Prophet Muhammad was having a beautiful chat with Jabir ibn Abdullah. He asked him, "Are you married?" He said, "Yes, Ya Rasulullah." Then he said, "Are you married? You know, is she virgin or not virgin?" He said, "Virgin." He said, "Not virgin." That means she was married before. The Prophet asked, "Why?" He says, "Ya Rasulullah, I have 9 kids, you know, 9 daughters. So I wanted someone to, you know, look after, you know, maybe to help me and look after my kids." So the Prophet says, you did good. Oh, Jabir. Oh, Jabir, before we reach Medina, we're going to send someone to notify your wife that you're coming so that she can prepare, a namariq for you. Yani, she can prepare this nice, beautiful sitting, you know, with beautiful pillows. And then he says, "Ya Rasulullah, I have no pillows, I have no namariq." You know, but he says, "We still will go and notify, you know, send someone to notify your wife that you're coming." And all the way, the Prophet Muhammad, as he was discussing, you know, talking to Jabir, he says, Jabir was poor. So the Prophet asked Jabir, "Oh, Jabir, you want to sell me your camel? You want to sell me your camel?" And then Jabir says, "Ya Rasulullah, it works nothing. It works nothing." Then the Prophet says, "Well, sell it to me." He says, "Ya Rasulullah, take it for free. Take it balash, you know, take it for free." Then the Prophet says, "No, not free. I'm going to pay something for it. I'll pay 1 dirham." 1 dirham? So Jabir said, "Ya Rasulullah, then you're going to, you know, wrong my right. You're going to wrong me. You just said, take it for free, right?" He just said, take it for free. Now he's saying, you know, when the Prophet offered 1 dirham, he says, "Oh, you're going to wrong me and you're going to cheat me." And then, okay, he says, "I'll give you 2 dirhams." And then he kept saying, just take it for free. And it's worth more than 2 dirhams. Initially, he says it's worth nothing. It's worth nothing. And when the Prophet offered some money, the guy kept like as if he's negotiating. And this is something that the Arabs would do, or Pakistanis, mashallah, they also are very good at it. You know, Pakistan, India, Bangladesh, Arabs, you know, Somal. I don't know if Somalis are also good in, negotiating there was this sister, she went with me for Hajj, Umrah, I remember. And then she negotiated so much, you know, we were buying dates and I was so embarrassed. She was negotiating, and this sister, mashallah, she's pretty well off, very well off, right? You know, but she was negotiating with this guy about a box of dates, you know, 120, no, 100 or 80, yani something so cheap, it's not even worth it, right? And then she kept on negotiating back and forth so much so that the guy says, "Just take it for free. Just take it for free." And she took it for free. She took it for free. And she brought it to the bus. And I said, "No, thank you, sister. We don't want it. I don't want it." And then she was just going around and then, you know, like sharing it with the brothers and the sisters in the bus. And I said, negotiating but sometimes don't suck somebody's blood. You're sucking somebody's blood, you know. So it is, you know, the Arabs, they negotiate. The brothers from Pakistan, India, Bangladesh, they have it in their culture. I don't know. Is there any other culture that I missed that do a lot of, you know, negotiations? That's why is rich, unfortunately. That's why she is rich, because she negotiates. That's what you think. You think, you know, if you were to negotiate with me, him and there, that's how you become rich. I don't think so. But at any rate, you know, so the Prophet told him, "I'll give you 1 dirham." Initially he says, "Yes, I took it. Take it. I don't want no money. It's worth nothing." And then the Prophet says, "No, I'll pay you something for it. I'll pay you 1 dirham." And then the guy says, "No. Dirham, yeah, you're going to cheat me, Ya Rasulullah. You know, it's worth more. I'll give you 2 dirhams. I'll give you," and then he keeps saying, "Just take it." Then the Prophet says, "No, I will not take it. I will, you know, give you money for it." So when they reached Medina, the Prophet stopped the whole army, right? And they sent people, kids, to notify wives, their wives, that, you know, "We're here. We're coming, you know, back home." So they went into the masjid, you know, rested, waiting for the wives to get ready. And this is something really beautiful, right? If you're traveling, if you're at work, if you're, sometimes you don't want to play that surprise, "I'm home," right? Your wife may be doing something and she does not want you to see her in that state or whatnot. You need to give her some time to go and put the mascara on, maskara, maskara, whatever you call it, you know, to put it on, to put some, whatever, to get ready to meet you, right? Right? So you want to, you know, maybe send some text or whatnot, or send someone, or give it a call on the phone. I'm coming, inshallah, you know, and whatnot. So the Prophet stopped the whole army. And then they notified their wives, their families that they're coming. And then when they reached home, because the Prophet took the camel, right? He took the camel. Khalas, he bought it from Jabir. But then what did the Prophet do? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He sent back the camel to Jabir with the money. He did not want to, you know, he wanted him to keep his honor. He knew that Jabir is poor, right? He's not rich, he's poor, and he just wanted to help him. So he gave him back his camel, and he gave him the money back as well. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The akhlaq. These are the very nice, good manners of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So brothers and sisters, after that al-Riqa', the Prophet went back to Medina. But then you have other tribes, you know, you have Quraysh, but then you have other tribes, and then they have realized, you know, all the tribes, they have realized that, you know, alone they cannot do it. So they have to come together against the Muslims. Quraysh alone could not defeat the Muslims. Banu Nadir, the Jews who that the Prophet kicked out from Medina, and then they went to Khaybar. You know, we talked about that briefly yesterday. Those that betrayed the Prophet, that they wanted to kill the Prophet Muhammad, Jibril came and notified Prophet Muhammad that there is a guy from Banu Nadir who was, you know, who came, he went up to his as the Prophet was sitting with one of the elite of the Jews, and this man went on top and he wanted to hit, you know, throw a rock on the head of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Jibril came to notify Prophet Muhammad alaihi wasallam, and Prophet Muhammad left, and then he ordered all the Jews to leave Medina. Right, so those Jews of Banu Nadir, they joined the other Jews of Khaybar. You know, Khaybar, Medina, as I mentioned, those of you who are new to the series, Medina was there were many groups of people living in Medina, just so you know. You had the Aus, you have the Khazraj, which are the Ansar, which are the Muslims, and then you have the Jews. And within the Jews, there are several tribes. You had Banu Nadir, Banu Qurayda, you had Khaybar, Banu Qaynuqa. Those are all Jews tribes that used also to live in Medina. Until today, you can still see some of their, you know, fortresses, subhanAllah, you know, the remains of some of their fortresses in Medina. So they used to live there at the time. So they have realized that, you know, alone we cannot do it. We have to come together. So came this man by the name of Huyay ibn Akhtab, the leader of the Jews. Huyay ibn Akhtab. And by the way, Huyay ibn Akhtab, his daughter was married. What is the name of his daughter who was married to the Prophet Muhammad? Those of you on Facebook, those of you on Instagram. Huyay ibn Akhtab, he had a daughter who was married to the Prophet. What's her name? She's your mother. She's your mother. Ummul Mu'mineen, the mother of the believers. She is the mother of the believers. SubhanAllah, her father is a Jew. He's not only a Jew, he's the leader of the Jews. But this daughter, she became a Muslim and she married the Prophet Muhammad. What's her name? What's her name, brothers and sisters? Anyone? Your mom? Yeah, she's your mom. She's the mother of the believers, all the wives of the Prophet. No, Layla, she's not. Maria, she's a Qibtiya. Maria, she's Coptic. She was Coptic, right? She was Christian from Egypt. Maria, she's Coptic, or she was before she embraced Islam. Maria, she was Coptic from Egypt, and then she embraced Islam and married the Prophet Muhammad. Not Khadija. No. Khadija, she was not a. I'm talking about, this is a Jewish leader whose daughter married the Prophet Muhammad. What is the name of this daughter who married the Prophet Muhammad, whose father was a Jew? Of course you would know. Of course you would know. What's her name? Those of you on Facebook, Instagram, what is her name? The moms, your mothers, you know them, you should know them. Huh? Are you guys asking Sheikh Google? Maymuna, Layla. No, not Maymuna. Safiya. Safiya. Safiya bint Huyay ibn Akhtab. Safiya bint Huyay ibn Akhtab. Safiya, the daughter of Huyay ibn Akhtab. Right? So Huyay ibn Akhtab. Huyay ibn Akhtab is the Jewish leader, and his daughter was married to the Prophet Muhammad. So let me tell you something really interesting that happened. You know, Mary Safiya, she was a kid at the time. She heard her uncle and her father talking. Huyay ibn Akhtab talking to his brother, right? When the Prophet came to Medina. When the Prophet reached Medina, Huyay ibn Akhtab and his brother, they were talking. He says, "Have you met him? Have you seen him? Yani, have you seen this man? Have you seen Prophet Muhammad? Have you seen him?" You know, the brother said, "Yes, yes." He says, "Did you see all the signs?" Because the Jews, they knew that there was a prophet coming, and they had his signs in their books. They had the signs, the alamat of this man that was to come, who's a prophet. And some of the signs is he had the Khatam al-Nubuwah. The Khatam al-Nubuwah, the seal of the prophets on his left shoulder, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You know, on, you know, this round thing that's got hair in it, you know, it's called the seal of the prophets, Khatam al-Nubuwah. So he said, "Did you see him? Did you see him?" He says, "Yes, I saw him." "Is it huwa huwa? Is it him, him? Huwa huwa?" He says, "Yes." "Is it all the signs that we have in the Torah? Did he have all the signs that we have in the Torah?" He says, "Yes, yes, it is him." He says, "What have you decided to do?" He says, "I have decided to hate him until the end of time." He knew it was him. Why the Jews did not follow? Because they were expecting a prophet to come to be from them. Right? They knew that this was the time of a prophet. But their understanding was that this prophet who was to come will be from them, from the Jews. So when this man went to meet the prophet, and then he was scrutinizing him, looking for all the signs, he realized it is this man, but he's Arabi. He's from the progeny of Ismail, not from the progeny of Ishaq, of Yaqub, right, Ben Israel. So Huyay ibn Akhtab asked his brother, he says, "What have you decided to do?" He says, "I have decided to hate him for the rest of my life. I will not follow him." And Safiya, she was listening. She was a kid, she was listening. She knew that Prophet Muhammad was a true prophet. And who testified? Her uncle and his brother, yani her father. They both testified that this man is a prophet. Subhanallah. Yet, they did not want to believe in him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they went to Abu Sufyan. Huyay ibn Akhtab went to Abu Sufyan. Right? He went to Abu Sufyan, the leader of Quraysh, and he says, "Listen, we need to form an alliance together. This is what's going to lead to the confederates, you know, the Ahzab. And we have one chapter in the Quran called Surah Al-Ahzab." Right? So he went to him, right? He went to him, and then he asked him, he says, "Listen, Abu Sufyan, you're from Quraysh, you are the Jews. We need to form an alliance to attack the Muslims and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam." So then Huyay ibn Akhtab, went to Ghatafan. Ghatafan is the second biggest Arabic tribe after Quraysh. It's called Ghatafan, right? There was this man by the name of Uyayna ibn Husn. Uyayna ibn Husn is their leader, the second biggest Arab tribe after Quraysh. So he spoke to them as well. So he's trying to form this alliance with all the tribes. They collected 10,000 people, 10,000 warriors, 10,000 against the Muslims. How many were the Muslims? You will see. The number is just like, you know, compared to the number of the Confederates, was like not even trivial. It was like nothing in compared. 1,500 compared to 10,000. And how would the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam arrange and, you know, not only arrange the battlefield, but they need to come up with some idea. They needed to come up because, hey, 10,000 versus 1,500, we need to come up with some idea to defeat these people. Or at least not to let them attack Medina. So Prophet Muhammad, he came to know that Quraysh and the Jews, you know, they were all planning to attack the Muslims. They formed an alliance to attack the Muslims. Quraysh by themselves, they were 4,000. Just Quraysh, they were 4,000. And then you have, you know, Ghatafan, they were like 3,000. And the other, you know, so they were all together, they were like 10,000 against only 1,500 Muslims. And who was the leader of the armies? The leader of the armies was Abu Sufyan himself. Abu Sufyan, who was not a Muslim yet, he was the leader of the armies. So the Muhammad, he came to know that there were 10,000 people, right, planning to attack the Muslims. What should we do? What should we do? Would Jibreel come down? Would the angels come down? Well, the angels, they came down in Badr. Why the angels did not come down in Uhud? Let me ask you this, brothers and sisters, those of you on Facebook, Instagram, why the angels came down in Badr, but they did not come down in Uhud? The angels, they came down, right, in Badr. But how come they did not come down in Uhud? Huh, brothers, sisters? Who can tell me? Are they going to come down in the battle of Al-Khandaq? Because the Prophet, he looked around, he had an alliance already formed with Banu Qurayda, the tribe of Banu Qurayda. So he had already an alliance. No, Thabit, the Muslims, they were not the majority in Quraysh, in the Uhud. Actually, Quraysh, of course, was they outnumbered the Muslims in Uhud. Of course, the Muslims, they were 700. Quraysh were 3,000. So Quraysh was more. So, but why the angels didn't come down? They only came down in Badr, but they didn't come down in Uhud. And now, as I mentioned, you know, Prophet Muhammad, he looked around, he wanted to protect Medina. he wanted to protect Medina, so he had an alliance already with Banu Qurayda. So they're not going to come from Banu Qurayda's side, so the Prophet Muhammad has to think of a way to, you know, protect the Muslims and protect Medina. To know that they can experience to lose, no, Allah tested their faith in Uhud, yes, but remember, remember what the Prophet said. The Prophet Muhammad told those archers not to come down. And the archers, 40 of them, they did not listen to the command of the Prophet. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to teach them a lesson. Allah wanted to teach them a lesson. Yes, the angels could have come down, as they have come down in the battle of Badr. But remember, sisters and brothers, this is very, very important. Because the Muslims today were wondering, where is victory? What happened to the Muslims? Why the angels are not coming down to our help and our rescue? What happened to the Muslims in Burma? What happened to the Muslims in China? What happened to the Muslims in Somalia? What happened to the Muslims in Afghanistan, in Palestine, in Syria? How come? How come? Why? Right? You may be wondering. We may be wondering why the Allah Azza wa Jalla sent down the angels, you know, to the Muslims in Hunain, in the battle of Hunain, in the battle of Badr, also in Al Khandaq. You will see that the angels will come, but in a different form. But why today? We're wondering why 40 people did not listen to the command of the Prophet. Allah Subhanahu wa Taala taught them a lesson, right? How many of us today are reviving what we call the Sunan of the Prophet? And you and I are wondering why Allah is not helping us. A lot of Muslims today, let alone the Sunan, a lot of Muslims today are in fact deserting the fara'id, the obligatory actions. Not only the Sunan, a lot of Muslims are ridiculing the Sunan of the Prophet. A lot of Muslims today are ridiculing the Sunan, the ways of the Prophet. let alone the Sunan. A lot of Muslims today are not even praying. So you wonder why, sometimes you say, why Allah is not helping, why this is this, why this is that, why Muslims have been killed, why Muslims have been tortured, why Muslims have been, you know, persecuted, why? Well, it is all min anfusikum. It is all from us. The day, brothers and sisters, listen to this beautiful thing I'm going to say right now. It is definitely a reflection of our deeds and state. Yes, Layla. But listen to what I'm going to say right now. Please write it down in gold. Write it down in gold. If you have gold, write it down and highlight it, right? When our a'mal go up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Allah sent down ahwal. We have a'mal and then Allah sent down the ahwal. Our a'mal are not good a'mal. Not all of us, but most of our a'mal are not good a'mal. So this a'mal, these actions, when they go up to Allah as not good, Allah sent down bad ahwal. Once our a'mal that go up to Allah become good a'mal actions, then Allah will send good ahwal. Ya salam. Ya salam. Did you understand what I just said? Did you just understand what I just said, brothers and sisters? This is really deep. The a'mal and the ahwal. You have a'mal and then you have our reactions, and then what happens? Then you have, you know, something goes up and something comes down. Something goes up, something comes down. So when our deeds go up as rotten, corrupted deeds, you know, well, we're not going to say the, you know, all of us, but definitely the majority, the a'mal are bad a'mal. And then you have the ahwal. Ahwal come down from Allah Azza wa Jalla. No rain, no victory, drought, diseases, sicknesses, pandemic, corona, SARS, this, that. The day when the a'mal go up to Allah as good a'mal, then Allah Azza wa Jalla will send good ahwal, inshaAllah. Do you understand what I'm saying, brothers and sisters? So Prophet Muhammad, when he heard that the Confederates were getting together, right, were getting together to attack the Muslims, Jibril, did he come down? No, not yet. Why? Well, Prophet Muhammad has to plan. Prophet Muhammad has to plan. So for the planning, Prophet Muhammad will consult with the Sahaba. Jibril came down when that man wanted to kill the Prophet Muhammad, wanted to throw a rock at him. Jibril came down and notified Prophet Muhammad, there's a guy who's going to throw a rock at you. So save yourself. Jibril came down. But here, would Jibril come down to plan the what they're going to do? No, planning. Prophet Muhammad will have to make some plan. Yani, brothers and sisters, you know what I'm saying here? What I'm saying here, brothers and sisters, is you need to make certain actions. You need to do certain actions. Yani, do your part. Do your part and leave the rest on Allah Azza wa Jalla. But first, do your part. Go to school. Study. Then make dua for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you pass your exams. Go to work and work, and then make dua to Allah Azza wa Jal to provide your halal rizq. You've got to do your actions. So the Prophet has to do the planning. And then the help of Allah will come afterwards. So Prophet Muhammad started planning with the Sahaba. What should we do? Came this brilliant idea. From the Sahabi, as we say in England, this brilliant idea from this companion by the name of Salman al-Farisi. Salman al-Farisi, and he says, Ya Rasulullah, our foss, because Salman was Persian, right? Salman was Persian. He says, in Persia, we used to have this technique. Like whenever we're outnumbered, we would build a trench and we will, you know, protect ourselves inside this trench. This idea or this technique was not known amongst the Arabs. The Arabs, they did not know this technique, you know, of building a trench. You know, the trench. So the Prophet Muhammad, you know, said, okay, let's start in 10 days because Quraysh was coming. And the other tribes are coming. Ghatafan is coming. The Jews are coming. So Prophet Muhammad had 10 days to dig in a trench which distance was 4 kilometers long in a mountain filled with rocks. Allahu Akbar. A rocky mountain. From one side, we have Banu Qurayda. Banu Qurayda, they had alliance with the Prophet. Okay, so Banu Qurayda, so far, they had an alliance, but they will betray the Muslims. They will betray the Muslims. So the Prophet had to build a trench which is 4 kilometers long. How many people? 1,500 people. How many days he has? 10 days. So Prophet Muhammad had to come up with a plan. Now we will talk about planning. Remember what I told you, sisters and brothers? When I said about this series, we will talk about Prophet Muhammad as a husband. We'll talk about Prophet Muhammad as a son. We'll talk about Prophet Muhammad as a leader, as a planner, as a brother, as a prophet, as a husband. Right? So we're doing that. Today you will see the planning of the Prophet Muhammad. As I said, those of you who are managers, those of you who are leaders, you will see the planning of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So what did he do? 4 kilometers long, 1,500 people. Are they just going to go, Allah, start digging? No. He split them into groups of 25 each. Ya salam. Group of 25 each. And each 25 group, the Prophet Muhammad has appointed a manager, a leader, like the one who watches over them. So they have a portion. They have like 4 kilometers each, whatever, 200 or 500 meters, you will have, or each 100 meters, they will have 25 people or so walking, or each 50 meters, they will have, 25 people working and digging. And he made sure that you people, you will stay put in your trench, in your spot. So if something was to go wrong, you'd be the first one to be on the front facing the enemy. And amongst them, there's appointed, like I said, a leader. And then upon all the groups, the 25 and the 1500, he appointed Abu Bakr and Umar to go around, making sure that people are digging and people are doing their job correctly. And on top of that, Prophet Muhammad, on top of that hill, he was the one watching over the project as the project manager, what we call quality assurance. Those of you who are in, managers or leaders or whatnot, you know about quality assurance. So the Prophet Muhammad, not only Umar and Abu Bakr were doing the quality assurance, but also Prophet Muhammad from the top looking, making sure that all the groups are doing their job. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the art of leadership, managing, managerial skill and talent. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today, they're teaching quality assurance. Prophet Muhammad knew about this more than 1400 years ago. They're teaching, planification, they're teaching, management, they're teaching, Prophet Muhammad did this long time ago. He did not go to Harvard and Stanford and Oxford to learn about management and the Ivy schools. He did not graduate from any Ivy school from the US to become a manager. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Who taught him? Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, do you know how old was the Prophet? Do you know how old was he now? 58 years old. Working hard. 58 years old, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Working hard. And he's there. 55 was that in, 56 in Uhud. 2 years later, Al-Khandaq. 56 in Uhud. 58, 55, 56 in Uhud. He's about 58 years old, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they have only 10 days to complete the work. So they had to work hard. And they were also trying to have some fun. Imagine, They were scared, terrified, but they still tried to have some fun. So what were they doing when they were digging? They were singing like a music. No. Nasheed singing. Allahumma lawla mahtadayna wala tasaddaqna wala sallayna fa'anzil as-sakinata alayna wa thabbit al-aqdama in laqina. They were singing beautiful, you know, poetry to just, you know, like I was working, and they were trying to, you know, think, keep that positiveness, right? Keep that positivity, subhanAllah. You know, not being pessimistic, they keep in that optimism. And the Prophet Muhammad was also, you know, with them. Allahumma la aisha illa aisha al-akhirah. Farhamil ansara wal muhajira. The Prophet was also, you know, singing poetry with them. Allahumma la aisha illa aisha al-akhirah. Fansiri farhamil ansara wal muhajira. And also, they ran out of food as well. On top of their work, they ran out of food. So came Jabir. Oh, again, the same guy, Jabir ibn Abdullah. Jabir ibn Abdullah, he went to his wife and he said, what do we have? She says, we have only chicken breast and some bread. Enough for one person. She says, Prophet Muhammad is hungry, and the Sahaba, you know, she says, we only have a chicken breast for our kids and a loaf of bread. Maybe him and maybe Abu Bakr al-Umar. That's it. So, Abdullah, you know, Jabir ibn Abdullah, he went to Prophet Muhammad and then he whispered something in his ear. Ya Rasulullah, I've got some food at home for you. Come with me. Come with me. I've got some food for you. He says, but I can't. I have all this army with me. I have all this, you know, your brothers are here. How can I come and leave all these brothers? He says, Ya Rasulullah, but the food that I have is only sufficient for one person. And maybe one more, yani Abu Bakr or Umar. That's it. So he says, okay, go back home. I'm coming. And don't touch the food. Don't touch the food. And then the Prophet called, Oh, people, Jabir is inviting you. Jabir is inviting you. Jabir, yeah, you know, Home Alone? You know Home Alone? You know that kid Home Alone? Like that, you know. Jabir, 1,500 people, he told his wife, she told him, we have food for only one person. He's going to bring in 1,500 people with him, you know. He ran to his wife, you know, he's gone crazy, you know. Just like, you know, sometimes us men, you know, the wife, miskina, she's cooking, you know, food enough for maybe one or two or three. And then the husband brings in qabila, ins and jinn. Not only one qabila, he brings the ins and jinn. And then he goes, we're invited. Everybody comes home. And then miskina, the wife, she goes and she panics. You know, at least tell me. You didn't even tell me. You know, and then you bring in your friends and you're bringing this and you're bringing that. You know, come on. But some husbands, they are just so oblivious. May Allah guide us all. Wallahi, sometimes, you know, I used to do this. May Allah forgive me. I used to do this. May Allah forgive me. But not anymore. Not anymore. I learned my lesson. Not anymore. You know. So he rushed to his wife. Ya Abdullah. Help. You know, wait, what's going on? Aghithi. You know, help. What happened? We've got 1,500. Not one, not two, not 10, not 20. We've got 1,500 people coming. But look at the wife. Look at the wise wife. Look at the amazing wife. Now the man who's panicking. And you need a wife like that. Man need a wife like that. She came and she says, did you tell Prophet Muhammad about the food that we have? He said, yes. He says that, don't worry. Don't worry. He knows. Jabir is like, he's trembling. His heart is beating. You know? And the wife just cooled him down in a fraction of a second. Did you tell Prophet Muhammad about the food that we have? He said, yes. Then she says, then don't worry. He knows what he's doing. What an amazing wife. Sisters, can you be like her? Can you, when you see your husband, you know, panicking or worried or sad, would you hold his hand? Would you hold his hand and let him cool down? And you say, everything's gonna be all right. Don't worry. Be happy. Everything's gonna be all right. Can you do that, sisters? Can you do that? Hold his hand and say, don't worry, inshallah, everything will be fine. Everything will be fine. All right? You're on your own. I'm going to my father's home. When you're done, when you get your job back, come back and get me. Right? Now, everything's gonna be fine. I'm leaving you. Everything's going to be fine, right? I'm leaving you. Allahu Akbar. Everything's going to be fine for me. I'm leaving. Sorry, man. I just wanted to laugh. Anyways, you know. So, what an amazing wife. What happened? What did Prophet Muhammad do? What did Quraysh do? What did Banu Qurayda do? And what did the Prophet and the Sahaba do? Did they complete their job? Did they complete the job on time? The trench that was completed. Did anybody cross that trench? Did they call for a duel? The angels, did they come down? Or did Allah Azza wa Jalla send some other type of help? What kind of help did Allah send to the Sahaba in the battle of Al-Khandaq? What surah talks about Al-Khandaq in the Quran? When بَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبَ الْحَنَاجِرِ وَتَظَنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ الظُّنُونَ, they were so scared, the Sahaba. They were so terrified. Allah Azza wa Jalla makes it, you know, look in the Quran that their hearts, القلوب الحناجر, it reached their throats. The hearts, the breasts reached their throats. That's how scared they were. وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ الظُّنُونَ, and they started having doubts about you know, Allah Azza wa Jalla helping them and sending His victory. They had doubts. What happened? What surah talks about this? Insha'Allah ta'ala, we will talk about this tomorrow bi-idhnillah, my dear brothers and sisters. Jazakumullah khair. May Allah bless you. Thank you so much for joining. Thank you those of you on Facebook. Thank you those of you on Instagram. Thank you Yashmin. Thank you Shazia. Thank you Baizor Yaziz. Thank you Nastabi. Thank you Layla. Thank you Baltagizano. Thank you Nawal. Thank you. Thank you all of you out there. Thank you so much for joining. Those of you on Facebook, thank you so much for joining. May Allah bless you. May Allah reward you. Tomorrow, same time, same place, inshallah ta'ala, for a continuation of this beautiful, beautiful series. Thank you, Rabab. Thank you, Rabuba. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining. May Allah bless you. Hope to see you tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala, all of you. Alrighty, guys. See you tomorrow, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.